Welcome to the World Service Conference 2020 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name is Howie and I am a compulsive debtor. The topic for this workshop is DA Steps 10, 11, and 12. And our first speaker is Jill.
My name is Jill P. and I am compulsively fabulous because if you have to be addicted to something, be addicted to something fun and cool like fabulousness. And I got the idea from this from John H., our fearless founder of this fellowship. We charged an airline ticket and flew him to give us a workshop back when dinosaurs run Earth in the 1980s. And when Mr. John came up and took the podium to give his talk, he got on the microphone and in his broad Brooklyn accent, he said, "My name is Jan and I'm a success." And it literally brought the house down. And he went on to say that he believed that it is best to identify with something that we want to grow and expand in our lives rather than saying a litany of addictions and afflictions after our names. And so ever since then, I always try to say something fun and cool that I want to identify with, and fabulousness is it. So that's how I introduce myself. So this talk is on step 10, and I first became turned on to the necessity of step 10 when in my community in Debtors Anonymous back in the early 90s, we agreed to be the conference host committee, and we were a young community at that point. We were only about 4 years old. And in fact, we were supposed to host in 1992, but the board decided to pull out of coming to Dallas because they thought there was too much infighting and unrecovered behavior. And then they gave us another chance and let us host in 1993 to give us all a chance to grow up a little bit. So anyways, in conference 1993, which I did not vote for, by the way, y'all, because I still thought we were too sick to be taken on a project that big. But I had sponsees that were all serving on this host committee, and I could tell where they were having their host committee meeting. I could set my watch by it because the phone would ring staggered at about 10 minutes apart with each host committee member that I was their sponsor calling me to go, "You won't believe what so-and-so said, and you won't believe who did what to who," and on and on and on. And finally, in self-defense, I said to my lovely sponsorlets, "How about before you call, if you have a resentment, you go write out that resentment and pray for the resented person like the book says?" Thereby saving my poor ear from breaking a womanly sweat over all the ire and vitriol that was coming across the phone. And what I learned about World Service in that early recovery time when our young community hosted is that World Service can be a glorious, ecstatic, inspiring, amazing experience, or it can be a festering petri dish of resentments, depending how you look at those interactions with your committee. And so tonight, I thought, because, you know, it's coming on evening, of course, step 10 says upon retiring that we constructively review our day. And I know some of you on the call right now were probably delegates. You were at convocation. Some things that took place at convocation may have caused resentfulness or not, who knows. But anyways, I would like to just make a little suggestion, and that is that we go through the step 10 directions in the original textbook. And so this is from the AA Big Book. This is page 84, and it starts in the middle of the page, where it says, "This brings us to step 10, which suggests that we continue to take personal inventory and to set right any new mistakes as we go along." And so the first direction there is That's why I suggested having your book in front of you and maybe something to write with, is as you review what went on today, just jot down if you feel like there was any mistake that needed to be set right today, and just jot that down. And the next direction says, we vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. And then there's a promise. It says we've entered the world of spirit. And then the direction tells us that our function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And so I want everyone to ask ourselves, yes or no, today, did you grow somehow in understanding or effectiveness? And just jot that down, answer that question. And then there's a direction here. It says this is not an overnight matter, but rather it should continue for a lifetime. And again, the word continue just shows up and up and up and up. The alcoholics weren't messing around when they wrote this for us. They say continue to do a number of things on a continuous basis. And one of those is to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So just take a moment on your paper and jot down today, did you notice selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, or fear? And then there's a prayer. The next direction says, if one of those character defects crops up, it says to ask God at once to remove it. And so take a moment and just silently pray to your higher power in your own words, and just ask your higher power to remove those character defects. And then there's another direction here. It says, we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anybody. And notice those pesky adverbs there. It says discuss immediately and make amends quickly. And the book is full of these little adverbs that tell us basically, okay, Jill, addict girl, get on the stick. And so jot down there, if you feel the need to discuss something with another human being, jot down what you might want to discuss with your another human being. And also jot down if you are owed anyone an amends. And then the last direction there says, then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. And just take a moment and just reflect with your higher power on somebody today in your life that might need your help. And that there took about 3 minutes. And so that is one form of a 10th step. Now, there's a couple other versions of step 10 directions in the AA Big Book. There's another one on page 86 that segues into step 11. And then another way that I like to take step 10 is to go back and revisit step 4. And if I don't seem to cleanse my consciousness using these brief big book ways, and something maybe is bothering me, if it's eating my lunch more than 3 days, then I go back and revisit step 4, and I write out a mini set of columns, rows, and prayers, otherwise known as CRAP, columns, rows, and prayers. And this is how to extract the crap from my consciousness. I write my columns, I fill in my rows, thank you, and then I pray for the resented person. If I have a fear, once again, I write the columns, rows, and pray the fear extracto prayer, the fear removal prayer. And if I feel guilty or shame, I may write a harms inventory and pray those prayers. There's also step 10 literature in the DA pamphlet, the 12 steps of DA. And there's some directions in there that also suggest we review our numbers upon retiring. And possibly enter our numbers in our record keeping. And so if I want to do a 10th step every night before bed, sometimes I do it with a partner, sometimes I write it, sometimes I do it from the book. One last thing, between the AA Big Book, the AA 12 and 12, the DA pamphlet, and the DA 12 and 12, there are about 6 versions of step 10, and a number of them take under 10 minutes. So I fondly would like to recommend once again that bang for your buck, the amount of time this takes relative to the benefit it provides is amazing. So my last share on step 10 is don't skip it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jill, for your great share. Our next speaker is Allison. Go ahead, Allison.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I was very uncomfortable with this step when I came into the rooms. I sort of thought it was a cult, and because I didn't know the Lord's Prayer. And for years, I read this step as prayer or meditation. For almost 30 years. And it has been a beautiful journey for me, this particular step. The spiritual solution I have discovered often is the most powerful solution, and the verb that has actually shifted so many things for me in the last year and a half to 2 years is surrender. And I had no idea that surrender was a verb. It is lighter than letting go. Anything about it, it's usually no longer relevant in that moment. And it's just very light. And I thought when I'd experienced it once, that was that for a lifetime, and I've experienced it many times. And so today, when I'm struggling with something, I know that until I get to that place, there's still stuff there for me. So this is from page 52 of the DA 12 and 12. Prayer and meditation strengthen our ability to live life on its own terms and to meet difficult circumstances with serenity, humility, and responsible action. If we can do that, then we are less likely to act fearfully out of self-will. And this is perfect. It was fear that brought me into the rooms, fear of incurring unsecured debt. I successfully applied Tradition 7 to my life for many years and got quite far with that. But when I started going to learn about meditation and going to different kinds of meditation retreats, Vipassana, which was a free thing that you gave a donation, and doing service at that. Doing service at the meditation center taught me how to bring the meditation into my life. And I would go in and meditate, and the person I was struggling with that I was doing service, often it either disappeared or it got much worse. And then the universe, like someone I didn't even want to talk to, gave me a workshop in metta, this practice with another teacher that I had a reaction to, and I didn't really want anything to do with them either. I really was frightened of her. And so I did the workshop, and I really wanted to do a good job because someone was giving me this and I was terrified, and what did they expect from me or want from me? And was I doing a good enough job? And that practice is, may I be kind, may I be safe, may I be peaceful. And on the last day of that workshop, that inner voice towards myself softened a little bit. And I didn't know if that was enough, but that has completely altered everything. And today, how that expresses itself in my DA program is, I recently did step 8 and 9. And as I went through the categories, much to my surprise, I wrote next to each of them, May I forgive. May we forgive. May I be forgiven. And I pulled out the mala that was a gift to me from someone, and I did 108 of each of those in each area. In the last couple of years, I've had some very challenging circumstances that were the primary things on my pressures list was communication. And so there are two specific prayers that I do often, and often when I'm on the phone with people, and it's, may I be kind, may I be kind, may I be kind, or may I forgive, may I forgive, may I forgive. And there are times when there have been times when there has been an action taken or something said, and it's like someone threw a baseball and the window was open. There's just nothing there. I was like, wow, what was that? Like, I want more of that, because when I have any energy about anything, it seems to be like a homing device for more of that stuff. And that has me be willing. That has me be willing to show up to the program rooms. It has me be willing to try different meditation practices, which is like, it's almost like having that sticky thing in the bottom of the fridge. And that's like, you can pour up hot water over it, you know, pull out a little scrubby thing. Maybe that helps. Like, each of the meditation practices that I have found help in different ways. And there have been times in the last few years that I haven't been able to do anything other than meditate. I really struggled in 2014 before I came into these rooms, and I would like set a timer and I would meditate for 20 minutes, and then I would set the timer again and I would go do something and I might be able to send an email, and then I had to meditate again. If I did that, I was able to accomplish a few tasks during the day. If I didn't do it, I wasn't able to do anything. I've done a lot of sponsorship and other programs, Al-Anon and ACA, and I've just started in the last 6 weeks to sponsor in this program. I never really talked about meditation until I started working this step a few years ago. And it is the only shortcut. It's not really a shortcut. It softens, it lessens. It can give one a little bit of a pause. It can be that thing that allows you to be able to breathe in the moment. And that is priceless. So it's really humbling, because I did not want anything to do with those earthy, crunchy people with their beans in jars. And I have beans in jars. And I often go to meditation centers, and I now know that there are nuns and monks that exist in this time, and they've actually visited me here in my home. Like, my life is completely altered. It's been a very humbling and vulnerable, and I am so grateful for this step. I want to talk a little bit about prayer. Prayer is, if anything, been even more uncomfortable for me. Right now my sponsor has me praying specifically for my sibling. When I do it, it is reliable to produce immediate results. And it is uncomfortable for me to do. I want to say I do it every day, but when I do, it is beautiful and it works. It is very vulnerable for me to share. It was, other than something in my environment, I did not grow up with any tradition around it. So it's with great trepidation that I approached prayer, fearing that I would do it wrong and I would get in trouble. What I have learned also in this program is that intimate space that I have with what we call higher power, what I think of as God with a lowercase g, that is the sweetest relationship. I feel like I've been dating God for so long. We're just comfortable with each other. It's kind of nice, So I really, I'm not even sure what else to say. In its simplest, this is from page 53 in the DA 12 and 12.
1 minute.
Thank you. In its simplest and most profound form, meditation is stillness of mind and spirit that allows us to be conscious of our higher power's wisdom. Practicing meditation means setting aside other considerations for the moment and opening ourselves to this consciousness. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Allison. And now our third speaker is Ellen. Ellen, you're up.
Thank you. Thank you, Howie. My name is Ellen, and I'm definitely a debtor, and I want to say hi to everybody. I think this is awesome. When I went to my first Zoom meeting here in New York City back in March, and one of my groups kind of pioneered it, and I went to the first meeting. We were testing it, and I was like, yes, yes, I'm putting the beginner's meeting. We had been on phone, this beginner's meeting, it's so funny because the meeting and everything I do is so scripted, except it's impossible for me to speak, even if I write notes for myself with any type of script or anything like that. So it's just kind of funny. But at any rate, we were on phone once we were locked down, and we went to phone, and then within a week we were on Zoom. And I learned Zoom. I got to tell you, it's possible. I don't know anything about technology, but I just got on those tutorials. I have a standing desk now, so I stand whenever I do anything with Zoom. And like I was, I'll tell you, I was just like, oh man, and every day, and I put this in different rooms, and I do this, and I would, it was like a process, you know, just like recovery, it was a process. So at any rate, step 12 in 10 minutes is like, I don't know. I could say about step 12 in 10 minutes. It's so many parts to it, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, carrying the message. I mean, that's enough. And then everything else, you know. So, but before I forget, I do want to thank the host committee and the General Service Board and all the volunteers that put this together. I know it was just to bring us all together like this for a day, you know, that we traditionally have Fellowship Day, is just, it's carrying the message, you know. That's what they did. They carried the message, but in a different way that maybe you and I might do. But they really brought us all together, and I'm extremely grateful for that. I'm grateful that we can do that. Okay. Now, when having had a spiritual awakening, what does that really mean? You know, I think it means different things to different people, and there are different levels to it, so I'm going to just keep the focus on myself, which is what I've learned. When I first came to recovery, I felt desperate. I had already been in a psych ward. I had lost my apartment. I had no family around me. I was living in a flea bag hotel in New York that defined flea bag hotels, with everything in the world to worry about in the hotel. And, you know, I didn't think I had a problem, but everybody was telling me I had a problem. And I had done something. I had rented an apartment that was way over my head, way, way over my head. And I had rented the apartment and taken the keys. And I knew that the last person in the world that was speaking to me was going to cease at that moment, hearing that that's what I had done the night before. So I called up somebody. They took me to a meeting. And the shame that I felt over my behavior, the shame, what I had done, I had spent over $1 million. I had totally destroyed my life. And I can't even really describe the sense. They talk about the God-sized hole. You know, I wasn't even on that level anymore. I was like 103 pounds. You could barely even get me to be able to put a complete sentence together. and I was about to lose my job, and I was taken to this meeting, and I'm a tremendous proponent of meetings for many reasons, but I've learned meeting makers make it, you know. So I went to this meeting, and they took me out for fellowship afterwards, about 9 people, and they did two things for me, two things during that meeting, another meeting, the meeting after the meeting. They did two things for me. They said, this is your sponsor. And I went, okay, because I didn't know what that was, but I just agreed because I felt I had to agree to anything at this point. And then somebody said, this is where you're going to a meeting tomorrow, and I'm going to pick you up either at your job or at your hotel.
I do. Yeah.
Thank you. So I felt that that person, those 9 people and those 2 people, the sponsor and the person who arranged my first meeting, I felt that they carried the message. They saved my life. They saved my life because that's what they did for me every day. Every day they told me what meeting I was going to. And I just showed up because I felt I had no choice but to show up. You know, sometimes I think it's easy to be overwhelmed and think, for me, like, what am I doing, you know? And I always go back to Bill calling up Dr. Bob. Bill needed an alcoholic to talk to save his life. And he called up Dr. Bob in this phone booth, you know, looking at the, you know, bar, you know, the whole thing. And I thought to myself, did they know what was going to happen? The millions and millions and millions of lives that were saved by that action. So for me, I take things very simple now. I take things very simple. I've been solvent since September 21st of 2002. I've been not incurred any new unsecured debt. That was not my first DA meeting, but that is my solvency date. And I take things very simple, very simple. Why? Because it's worked for me. It's really, really worked for me. They said to me, go to meetings, get a sponsor, get a home group, do service, go to fellowship. That formula, do the steps, that formula saved my life in 4 other programs. So when I came to DA, I wasn't particularly happy. I got to tell you the truth that I had yet another program. But somebody passed me a note in one of my meetings and said, you really need to go to DA. And this is the meeting. And I went to it. Now that person doesn't even remember that they did that for me. But again, there was something like, such a simple task, and yet it reaped so many beautiful benefits in my life. And so I knew to apply the formula. So I got a sponsor. I heard PRG. I didn't know what that was. It was explained to me. I got it right away. I started, we went through the steps as best we could back then in 2002. We went through the steps with them. I think the most important thing I did for myself was I jumped into service, because during service, I met other solvent people, and they were all carrying the message. But the way I carry the message back then is different than today. You know, I started a beginner's meeting. I wrote the script for it. I felt people were confused. That was the feedback I was getting from my primary program. People were feeling confused about what DA was. Some people were using credit cards. They were using credit lines. They were talking about it. BDA, people, I'm also in BDA, talking about credit cards. So I started a meeting, and it was the beginners who said, I want a definition of solvency. We have a definition of solvency written into our script. And I'm a firm believer, this is my feeling, of a soft landing for people. So I arrange a PRG for people. We have a contact list of like 30, 40 people that are willing to talk to beginners. They're all people that know the group. They've come, they've spoken, they've said, yes, we want to be on the list. Yes, we want to be helpful. So like today now, when we went on Zoom, that opened up the whole world for me, literally. because now it was easy for me to get help. Before, we would do it by phone. People would call into the meeting. It was kind of like a hybrid, but not really, because nobody ever showed up consistently. So it was kind of, you know, it was a lot on my shoulders, and only a certain amount that I was willing to take on my shoulders. But now with the Zoom, you know, we can arrange, I can arrange, you know. I was doing 2, 3, 4 PRGs a week, and people are getting solvent, you see, because it's the formula. Going to meetings, I mean, getting a sponsor, but most importantly, it's that conversation of letting somebody know, just like Bill and Bob, just like Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob, they had a conversation. Just like that woman passed me the note and had a conversation with me afterwards and said, you really need to go. You know, my eyes crossed, you know, but I went. You know, I went because I needed it. I went because 12-step recovery has proved to me it's a treatment model that works for me. I go, I apply the formula, and for me, carrying the message is, I don't know, it's attraction, not promotion. So that's another thing, you know how it is when 12-step recovery, you know, easy does it, but do it, you know. Carrying the message takes my mind off of me. You know, like when I'm thinking, okay, who is the speaker this week for the beginners? Or did I get that person's PRG organized or not? Or does that person need a sponsor? Or does that person need an outreach call? Or is that person, we haven't seen her for a couple of weeks, is she okay? And then I ask one of the beginners, would you give that person a call? Or I call if there's nobody, you know, around. But at any rate, I haven't given step 12 justice.
Ellen, it's 10 minutes.
Oh, it's time. Okay. I didn't hear anything. Thank you. So I didn't give it justice. Well, yeah, I didn't give it justice. So anyway, thank you very much for listening.
Great. Thank you for your share, Ellen.